Hey, it's Coral, and welcome back to the Forward Thinker Show, the podcast where we share the stories and expertise of global leaders in business and technology. Today, we have Isabella Vieira Estrada. Of course, she's a dear friend of mine. She's just finishing up her studies in mechanical engineering, and she's previously worked at Boeing, Tesla, Google, and now she's gonna go and live in Boston, Massachusetts as a rotational engineer at Boston Dynamics. Hi, Isabella. Welcome to the pod.
Hi, Cora. How are we doing today?
We're doing good. We did like a workshop a few months ago, girls
get the offer.
Get that offer. Yeah. Yes. It was very fun. If you weren't at Shell Hacks, you missed out. Hey, Isabella, how are you doing? How are you feeling now that you're almost done with school, girl?
I'm ready to be done.
Who is
it? It's funny because like at the beginning of the semester, yeah, I was like, I don't want to graduate yet. Like I don't want to like extend my graduation. Yeah. But now that it's November, I'm like so ready to finish.
You're checked out already.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my assignments, I'm like, do I really need to like complete it? Mm-hmm. But then like I don't want to, you know, end up with a bad grade on any of my classes, but I'm just ready to finish.
You're ready to go. Mm-hmm. I get that. I understand that feeling, but my feeling's a little bit, I extended my time here a little bit because okay. I still have more things to learn and get from people, but you know, I still feel that sentiment from time to time. I'm like, I'm ready to check out.
Yeah. I mean, I did extend my graduation. Yeah. Like, I'm graduating in 4.5, so this is my extension, so I'm ready.
I get you. Yeah. I get you. Well, Isabella, for people who don't know you, I always start with the question, where are you from? I want to know, where did Isabella come from?
I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I moved to Miami, Florida in 2018 and have been living in Miami since then.
Oh, awesome. So, Isabella, you were from Puerto Rico all the way to Miami, and then through that experience, since then, you've done some pretty cool stuff, right? So I wanted to know, like, what made you get into, like, the world of technology and, like, building cool stuff?
I feel like it's been a slow process. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't those type of kids that would work on their computers growing up. Like, I was very much like, I didn't like computers or technology, so I would avoid it at all costs. But in high school, I started taking physics, started taking calculus. So my physics professor really pushed me into studying engineering. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, sure. Like, I'll try it out.
Maybe.
I ended up liking it. Like, I don't think I have a immediate, like, passion for engineering. Like, I won't go home today and work on my, like, computer or, like, build a personal project.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love learning about, like, new technology and kind of, like, what's influencing today's like like everyday life for everyone. And so since I've been like studying engineering for the past 4.5 years, I've been like able to do different internships that have really kind of shown me how engineering is actually applied in the real world environment. And that kind of helped me kind of grow into engineering more. Like I do enjoy my classes, but like I've never, like, sat in, like, thermodynamics and be like, oh, my God, I love learning thermal.
I love thermodynamics.
Exactly.
I love physics.
But it's
I
been
love
like,
baking blades.
Exactly. But it's been slow, but I think now I have more of a passion for it.
And through that, you kind of learn that there's a lot of struggles that you took to get there, right? Like, throughout your experience, I would 100%. Imagine that.
Yeah. Especially, like, when I started in Miami, I started, so I moved in for junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And so my parents enrolled me in the Cambridge program, which it's, like, ACE as well. And if you don't know what it is, it's kind of like an IB program where you, like, take advanced classes, and then at the end you take exams. So I was coming from a public school in Puerto Rico where, like, we barely learned in English. And then, like, all my classes were in Spanish to now, like, an advanced program in Miami where, like, all my classes were in English. And it was just so hard that I always say that college was a breeze compared to what I had to go through in high school. So I think it's been a, you know, I've had, like, my roadblocks, but I'm very happy to see, like, where I am today.
That's awesome. And you went to Reagan, right?
I did go to Reagan.
Yeah, we both went to Reagan.
Yeah.
Slay. Go Bisons. And honestly, I think about that. When you're in high school, you kind of, like, you were sort of thrown in there. You were thrown into the dark pit and into the dark pit of just like grinding it out.
Yes,
100%. Super early on, and you did AP too.
No, I did. Yeah, I did full enrollment, AP, and Cambridge in 2 years.
Yes,
and I remember just comparing myself, like naturally, you compare yourself to your peers. And, like, yeah, they were all like excelling.
Yeah,
they had also like been raised here, right?
Yeah,
but I just really wanted to be like at their pace, so I had to like I was sleeping less than them and just like putting that extra mile to be at the same level as they were, since they had been, like, you know, growing up in Miami and I hadn't.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't change anything, but it was definitely hard.
Yeah. That's so cool, though, that you literally had to put in, like, I get that sentiment. Like, you have to put in double the times of work so I could get, like, half of the result. It's kind of like a thing people tell, like, women or people, or when you just don't know that much in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much you have to work hard. And now, if people who don't know Isabella, she's also a business owner. I'm gonna call her a business owner, entrepreneur. She's an entrepreneur. You can be an entrepreneur and have a nonprofit. So you have a nonprofit called Coffee Chats with Isa, and the thing with that is, like, you actually help people because you already went through the struggle.
Yes,
and now you're helping others ease their way into that struggle.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So what made you want to get started with Coffee Chats?
So I was already mentoring students since my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working as a peer career coach for the Career Center here at FIU.
Mm-hmm.
And in this position, I would review resumes for students.
Mm-hmm.
I would give them insights on, like, career fairs, help them with the workshops that employers were hosting, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gave me kind of, like, the introduction to, like, mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And then by sophomore year, I was earning internships. So when I would come back, a lot of my peers would ask me, like, Isabel, like, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
They just asked me for advice, and then I would help them with their resumes, their interview prep, and then they would get the internships too.
Mm.
So I kind of, like, realized, like, wow, like, my advice is actually helping people, and it's actually having, like, a positive impact on others and my peers. So I, in a way, like, I was like, okay, so, like, it has value.
Yeah.
And then I was just, like, mentoring so many of my peers that I decided to do something more official and have an impact, like, nationwide, not just at FIU.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's kind of how I started it. Like, I just, like, and it took me a really long time to start it, even though, like, I wanted to start it, like, a year prior to when I launched it.
Because
I was like, who am I to be, like, mentoring people officially? Like, I'm still a student.
Yeah.
I'm at FIU, so, like, I'm not a target school. So, like, there's just, like, a lot of, like, doubt in starting it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, like, I am so happy that I did, because I've been able to mentor, like, over 150 students now.
Wow.
And for free.
That's, like, a school.
Yeah.
Girl.
It's been a lot. And, like, I do it for free. So
yeah, starting now.
The thing is, like, because I can't guarantee anyone an internship or a full-time offer, because it's not really in my hands. It's more of, like, the job market isn't aligned. Like, do you have luck?
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't charge people.
I mean, if it's a nonprofit, you can also have, like, people who sponsor your thing. So,
like,
you'd
donations.
rather that than, like, the 100%. Kids coming to pay you, but, like, someone else paying.
Yeah. In an ideal scenario, I would have donors from, like, either schools or industry, like, employees or just, like, larger donations. I would never want to, like, have students pay for it,
because
you're just struggling.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's knowledge that I don't think they should be paying to acquire.
Yeah.
Cause, like,
I mean, like, there's some iffiness about it. Like, people, like, career consulting, when you're a professional helping other professionals, they have jobs. They can pay for, like, that kind of consulting if they want to become an executive and stuff. But your thing is with students, right?
Yeah. Undergraduate students, mainly.
Which,
like, are broke, they're in debt.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying just to, struggling.
Yeah, you're trying to help them up. So I want to ask you, what's, like, the biggest misconception surrounding mentorship? And also, how can mentees ensure that they get the best out of the relationship?
I feel like the biggest misconception with mentorship is, like, always needing something, like when you give mentorship, you're always, like, expecting something back.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, especially for employers, like, that are older and, like, industry professionals, I think a lot of them, like, shy away from mentorship because they're like, what is that, like, what is it, what is in it for me, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's part of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're just trying to help others. It's like when you're volunteering to clean up a beach,
mm-hmm.
I guess, like, the end outcome is, like, you're going to have a cleaner beach.
Yeah.
So if you're volunteering to mentor students, then the end outcome is going to be, well, students are going to be better prepared,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be because of you.
Yeah.
So I just feel like people should focus less on the monetary value of mentorship and, like, not always, you know, expect people to pay you for it,
mm-hmm.
and just do it, like, out of the goodness of your heart and just because you want to help students.
Yeah. I guess specifically for students, especially, like, that demographic, it's way different mm-hmm. demographic. Like, their needs are different versus, like, someone who's a business owner who's trying to grow their business.
Exactly.
And they want, like, a strategic consultant in marketing or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, and girl, get your money if you want to do exactly. it like that. Yeah. Like,
and there's companies like Leland.
Yeah.
They do, like, not mentorship. It's called, like, coaching.
Yeah.
For, like, grad school.
Yeah.
That's fine.
This, yeah.
Like, typically, like, they're, you know, industry professionals that are yeah. making, like, at least $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
They can afford $100 an hour.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I would never dare to, like, charge a student $100
like, an yeah, hour. Like, a 15-year-old or like, something like that.
Mate,
yeah.
There's other people my yeah. age charging students $100 an hour to just talk to them.
I mean, that's a topic for I mean, okay. I'm kind of like, because I know some of the people who do charge, and like my thing with it is it's like sometimes people use it as like a filter because they get so much demand.
Yeah.
So like you've mentored 150. Imagine someone who has like 150,000 requests.
Yeah.
They're only one person, right? So I think that in that case, I could understand it.
Yeah.
But like students, I don't know. Maybe, like, another demographic might help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I also feel like mm-hmm. maybe when I'm older and have, like, 15-plus years of experience, feel like I have enough experience and knowledge to charge mm-hmm. people. But right now, I'm just talking to them about, like, the step-by-step process that I took.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully it helps them.
Yeah, hopefully. Right? So what have you seen? Like, what are some things that mentees, people who are receiving your advice, what can they do so that they put their best foot forward and ensure they get the best out of that relationship?
It's really important for them to not feel like entitlement to a job. Like mm-hmm. I see a lot of people just coming to me like, oh, so like you've worked at X company, like can you give me a referral? Like it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's very important for mentees to come with a purpose. Like mm-hmm. I want to learn this from Isabella. Like I want to see how she got into Google, mm-hmm. how you got into Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Can you review my resume?
Mm-hmm.
What about your interview prep? Can you like mm-hmm. recommend that I like practice, right?
Yeah.
Just be more specific with the questions, but don't ask me for a referral. It's
yeah.
just one, I can't give referrals. Like I'm still in school. Like I'm not like a employee.
Yeah.
And also I don't want to be, like, feel like I'm being used. And it's very different when someone, like, asks me for, like, a favor, like, a referral
mm-hmm.
versus asking me for advice. It's very different.
Yeah.
So when people approach me with, like, mm-hmm. advice, I'm, like, mm-hmm. more keen to, like, help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, when people approach me, like, and it's just obvious that they just want to, like, use my connections,
it
can get annoying.
No, I get that. And here's the thing with referrals that, like, my philosophy on it, I usually... The best referrals are not from strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Their best referrals are from people who've worked with you and know you. Because, like, I know in, like, some referral systems for some companies, like, the employee has to write an essay about you and how they know you and how they're connected with you. And so if they say, like, this kid just, like, asked me annoyingly that they want a referral, they're going to be like, oh, that's just a courtesy referral. We'll just throw that in the trash.
Exactly.
That's not even, like, something we'll consider.
Yeah.
But, like, let's say, for example, you and your friend worked on a project sophomore year, and it was a really great project. And then years later, that person works at this company, and then you just so happen to be like, oh, hey, you want an internship here? I could give, I'm like, hey, I like this composition. I remember when we worked together on this, like, could you give me a referral? I was like, hey, I think you'd be a good fit. And then I'd write about, like, I know this kid because I've seen him work in real time.
Exactly.
And so, like, you don't know if you give a referral to a stranger, like, you don't know their work ethic.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're going to embarrass you. Because imagine if you give, like, a I don't want to say that word. Like, a bad referral.
Oh my God, Obi! You should come, like, to the...
Oh, my God, come in. Come, Obi. We're going to have a cameo.
Hi, Oben.
Hi, Oben.
Good in
here.
You.
Come here.
We're filming.
We're filming.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Hey.
How are you?
Okay, quick. What's your thoughts on referrals?
Referrals? Like employee referrals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's kind of hard to get those referrals, you know, but if you know that person, I think it'd be really good.
We were just talking about that.
But what about a stranger asking you for a referral?
Hell no. No. It's kind of like if I'm a stranger right now and I ask you, will you marry me?
Yeah.
Nah.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah, you have to know the person also. Because, someone that was just getting a referral from, a very, important person.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're trying to get into Harvard, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And so Harvard often gets referrals from people that are supposed to get from famous important people, but most of the time they just disregard them because they know most of the time they don't know that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's important to have a connection.
That's good. Thank you, Owen. Thank you for stopping by.
For sure. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you're good. We love it.
Thank you.
We love Alvin.
Yes.
Anyways, what were you saying? I think we were talking about. Yeah, it's kind of like if you don't know the person, TLDR. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the person. It's not right. It's kind of, think of it like you're asking somebody to marry them. Would you marry somebody you know or a stranger?
Exactly.
You got to think of it like that way. And so, yeah. And then what's another thing that people do wrong in your sessions?
I feel like not coming prepared. Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to at least understand why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to get from me? Right. What advice can I give you that would be of value?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do your homework on my experience or you're not really sure what you want to do with your life, then I feel like I can help you even less.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come up to me and you're like, hey, Isabel, I've been applying to these positions, this specific company, I keep getting rejected. Then I can be like, okay, let's look at your resume. Let's look at the positions. Let's look at how much it's aligning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel like they can get more out of it.
Yeah.
But when they come unprepared, it's like, they're just like, oh, so tell me about yourself. I'm like, no, tell me about yourself.
Yeah, the point is
you're
for
the
us. MT. Yeah. And it's like, you gotta think about it from your perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're a college student. You already know how to get into college. If some high schooler comes up to you and they're like, hey, tell me about yourself, and you don't know what kind of way to answer them.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird. But then if a high schooler comes up to me, be like, hey, I'm involved in all of these clubs at my school. I'm taking these courses. I'm thinking of these different colleges to apply to. But I'm kind of iffy on that experience. Then I'm like, oh, I could help you out that
exactly.
way too.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like there's something especially when I'm. Every time I ask someone for advice, I always try to be excited and put effort into it because they can see that they like that too. I've noticed that as well.
When I talk with someone that's just uninterested,
in
my head I'm like, "Why are you here?"
Yeah,
you scheduled a meeting with me.
Yeah,
why are you here? If you're not even interested, you're not asking me questions.
They don't want to look at your pretty face.
I don't know. But it is different. Even for me, when I've interviewed, been interviewed, the tone really sets the entire conversation.
Yes.
I always have my interviewers understand that I am excited and honored to be there.
Yeah.
And I expect that same attitude with my mentees.
Mm-hmm. So I since you've worked with 150 people, I haven't even spoken with 150 people. What are some common challenges that people face in their early career, and what are some things that people can do to help navigate that?
It's hard because I feel like nowadays having the degree is not enough.
Yeah.
So I feel like the main challenge that I see with students is just not having enough on their resume, not getting involved with student organizations, not doing research, not putting in the extra effort.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in today's world, you need more than just a degree.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of juniors that have never been to a club, have never done an internship, have never done research, don't have a job. So I'm just that you're graduating next semester, and I don't know, like, where to even start in terms of, like, what you can improve on.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's important for advisors to tell freshmen, yes, classes are important, but you need more than just the classes. Like, you need to start getting involved in your community, like, start thinking about your future, and then, like, kind of try to picture where you want to be, and then, like, have a step-by-step process of how you're going to get there. Because I just feel like people are not doing enough nowadays. Not that, like, they're not doing enough, but it's just, like, they need to do more to get to where they want. Because I feel like they have, like, big aspirations.
Yeah.
But then not putting in, like, the work for it.
That's really interesting. I want to tap in more into that goal setting. You know, you're also not only a student, but you're also an entrepreneur. And I think this could help entrepreneurs as well. Do you have a certain framework on how you can, like, achieve big goals or, like, good, like, productivity hacks that have helped you?
I feel like I focus on smaller goals before big goals.
Okay.
Like, for example, for me, my smaller goals are, like, doing well in class. So, like, every semester, my goal is, like, to excel. So, like, as a freshman, I wasn't thinking of the GPA I was going to have as a senior. I take it semester by semester and just kind of, like, break it down.
Okay.
Same as, like, my club involvement and, like, where I was applying. Like, when I was a freshman, I wasn't applying to Google or Tesla. Like, I didn't have anything to give. But then by the time I was a junior and had already, like, worked on, like, different, like, projects and organizations, I was able to, like, set higher goals for myself. So I just, I don't like to set goals that are, like, beyond a couple of months, maybe some years. Because I just feel like it's not realistic.
Yeah.
Like, so much can happen in a year.
Yeah.
That if I were to say, in 6 years, I want to be at Harvard Business School. I'm not even sure where I'm going to be in 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, where I'm going to be working. Like, there's just so much that can happen in 6 years. That I just don't really think about it. Because I feel like that just opens the door to, like, disappointment when you don't reach it. And, like, you just don't have a lot of control over that.
And you're so young. You kind of want to be open as well.
Very open.
Very That's open. Huge. Yeah, because you've bounced around a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about being open because my freshman year, I feel like I missed out on so many opportunities because I was so, like, close-minded. Like, I only wanted to do biomedical engineering. And if it wasn't a biomedical engineering company, specifically, like, Medtronic, I didn't want it.
Oh my
God. I didn't want it.
Oh my God.
And then by the time I was a sophomore and gotten, like, so many rejections my freshman year, I was like, I'll do whatever. And it's funny because my freshman year, I was like, appliances? Like, I would never work in appliances. And then sophomore year, my first internship was GE Appliances.
Yeah.
Because, like, you just need to be open to new opportunities. Because, like, sometimes what you think is best for you is not really best for you.
Yeah.
And just being open, you're probably going to learn more. You're going to grow more.
Yeah.
And you may be surprised. Like, maybe you find another passion.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I have, like, aspirations. But I feel like I'm very open-minded.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have told Isabella, like, freshman year, that she was going to be working with robotics when she graduated, I would have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah, right. No. But, like, now I'm, like, so excited to work with Boston Dynamics.
Yeah.
And it's because I've been open to, like, I don't have a set industry that I want to work in. Like, I am really just open to learning, and I focus on the learning before, like, the product itself.
That is so good. Focus on the learning before your end goal, especially when you're young. I actually learn online, like, your first, like, your 20s specifically, or, like, your if you're just starting out, if you're, like, 18 years old, you shouldn't be worried about, like, how to be a millionaire in 3 months. How do I can be, like, super quick, like, get successful super quick, be an entrepreneur, blah, blah, blah. No, you should focus on learning as much as possible and, like, being open. Porque a veces, like, some kids, like, I used to be very terca. Like, I didn't want to, like, it's like they're stubborn.
Yeah.
And low self-esteem. Yeah. That was the two things I was freshman year. Like, there was an opportunity that was in my email that I was like, oh, I'm not good enough for this. I'm not going to apply. Or like, oh, this is not really, I'm not really that good at it. So why would I learn about that? Yeah. And now I want to, like, slap myself in the face, my young self. I was like, girl, you don't even, like at that point, it's like, What am I going to do in the next 5 years? I don't even know what I'm going to do in the next 5 hours.
But it's so real, though.
Yeah.
And, like, you just need to be open.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. But, like, I also like the fact that just because you're being open and exploring that you shouldn't have a plan. But you don't plan, like, 5 years ahead. You plan, like, every 6 months, every semester, quarter, like, bring it down more. Exactly. I think like that way as well. I think every 3 months, I'm always doing something different. If you look at me, like, what I've done, I always have, like, 3 months. Big projects every 3 months. Yeah.
Or maybe have like more general
plans. Focus. Yeah.
Like maybe your plan is to do 2 or 2, 3 internships in your like 4 years in college.
Yeah.
But if your plan was to do, I want to do like 3 internships in big tech, slow down.
Like, yeah.
Take it easy. Yeah. You don't know if you're going to be able to like even do 1 internship in big tech, right? Mm-hmm. And then I feel like, again, like your aspirations can change over time.
Yeah.
But it just, if you don't, like, if you don't have, like very, I don't know how you say it. Like, if you don't think too much ahead, then I think there's, like, less room for disappointment at the end.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. That's just life.
Yeah. That way you could be more, like, here's the thing. There's a movie I watched. I think it's called, like, The Little Prince or something like that, where it's like a mom who has a checker, like a calendar, a big calendar, and then she has smaller and smaller calendars, and then her daughter, her only job is to get into this like elementary school. And okay. So from 0 to 5, she's been like training her daughter every day of like, this is what you gotta do, this is what you gotta say. And then on the day of the interview, the daughter was like freezing up to get into the school, and then she didn't get in. And so the mom was like, oh my God, because if you don't get into this, then you can't work there. And then if you don't go there, then she was panicking. And it was a really interesting movie about like having so much control over every single tiny detail of your life is not gonna help you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta like explore. Yeah, it's not realistic at all.
Yeah.
You gotta have a good balance of setting goals, but also being open.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of routes to the same end goal.
Yeah.
And, like, if you are, like, so fixed on a single route, what if it doesn't happen that way?
Yeah.
You're going to be, like, disappointed and you're going to feel like a failure.
Yeah.
But then if you're open to, like, oh, there's, like, different routes. Like, if you really want to work in big tech, for example, and, like, you feel like a failure because you didn't get into big tech as an undergrad, I'm like, big tech is still going to be there. You can apply again in 2 years, like, after you graduate, and then be, like, a level 2 in big tech.
Yeah.
Like, it's still going to be there,
right? Yeah, it's like, not going anywhere.
Like, the route just, like, deviated a little bit, but just, like, the angle is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In your experience, what are the differences between, like, men and women when they're trying to achieve their goals? Or is there a difference? Or what have you noticed?
Honestly, I feel like the majority, because, like, I mainly do engineering students, the majority of my mentees have been men.
Yeah.
But I haven't noticed any, like, immediate, like, discrepancies between, like, men and women for, like, how they're approaching, like, their goals and, like, their internship search.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in general, and I wouldn't say, like, all men have been this way.
Yeah.
But I have seen a little bit more entitlement with the boys.
Oh.
Yeah. Like.
Really?
They're the ones asking me for the referrals or, like, asking me if I'm doing mentorship for, like, my resume. Like, sometimes I just feel like they're not, I don't know, like, I feel like in a way they're like, oh, like, if she did it, like, I can do it too, right? It's like, yes, you can, but, like, don't downgrade what I've accomplished just because you can do it too.
Yeah. I mean, we did a workshop with women. How did you feel about that, with that experience?
I feel like, in general, they tend to do, like, less, like, technical work. And then, like, they're competing against, like, the boys that are doing, like, a lot of heavy technical work. So I just feel like we need to empower women to do, or like, be less scared of the technical work. And that's something that, like, I've been working on personally. Like, I feel like even in engineering, then women tend to go into, like, PM work. And it's like, you guys can do SWE.
Yeah.
Or you guys can do mechanical design.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, it's more intimidating in a way. But I think that we're missing, like, empowerment and, like, obviously when you look at, like, leadership and people that are doing, like, more technical work, I think in general, because they're all men, like, sometimes we don't see ourselves in their shoes, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, she's right. She's already working on that. She's working with robots.
Yeah. Working on it.
Are robots gonna kill us?
I don't think so.
I mean, they can.
Yeah, but, like, a car can kill you, too, right?
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I feel like it's, the future is, like, very optimistic in terms of robotics. Mm-hmm. And I think that automation can is going to really help us, like, grow as a civilization. And I think there's going to be more benefits than negative sides of robotics. Mm-hmm. Like, less injuries in the workforce. Maybe, like, less elderly people that are, like, alone because they have a robot with them.
Like, you've seen, like, what do you think about those freaking Tesla robots?
Optimus.
Optimus, yeah.
I think they're cool. and, like, also, I feel like people are like, oh, I don't want a robot in my house. I'm like, it doesn't have to be in your house.
Yeah.
But, like, robotics can be used in, like, the industry and, like, factories. Mm-hmm. They can do work that is, like, more harmful to humans. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's so many benefits to robotics that I understand why people can be scared. Mm-hmm. But there's also, like, a huge, like... Mm-hmm. Just lists of positive things.
Yeah. I think people underestimate that, like, tech doesn't come out of, like, the air. Like, it's not, like, AI doesn't come out of thin air.
Yeah.
Robots don't come out of thin air. So it's not like a freaking huge Optimus Prime robot. It's gonna come and beat you with a laser.
Yeah.
And burn down your house. Like, we don't even have that much money to do that, yeah. Make that happen.
I mean, it's a pretty, like, newly evolving industry, so I do assume that, like, there's going to be, like, more regulations to it. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we won't be able to use robotics for, like, killing others, and that's fine. But, like, it's going to happen, right? Like, we're going to have more regulations and just, like, safer robots for everyday use.
Do you know, apparently, we have all the technology available to duplicate humans, to, like, clone them, but, like, we're scientists are not allowed to do it because of, like, the ethics boards.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I feel like people are scared that the world's gonna end. I'm just like, thank the ethics boards. They're not gonna make that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot that we don't know. Yeah. And I'm, like, grateful that we don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of, like, good humans making those decisions to, like, keep us safe.
Yeah. So. I have one more question. What's something that you wish you knew before... when you were starting out in tech, something that you wish you knew?
There's so much that I wish I knew. And that's, like, why I do mentorship. But I feel like there's an idea, like, of what we have of big tech versus, like, what it actually is.
Yeah.
So I feel like from an outsider perspective, like, Google is, like, the ideal company for, like, anyone, right?
Yeah.
They have, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm. Very chill workplace. Yeah. Like, you can play pickleball at 10 a.m., they're, like, cutting edge in terms of, like, software. Mm-hmm. They're leading industry, etc. But sometimes, like, all those, like, pros are not necessarily aligned with what you want. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just understanding that even though I'm going to an excellent, like, Fortune top 10 company, doesn't mean that that's the company for me.
Mm-hmm.
So just being, like, and again, like, it's just important to know this because a lot of people are like, oh, like, I haven't been able to, like, get into tech. Like, I'm such a failure. I'm like, maybe it's not meant for you, like, in a good way. Mm. Like, maybe you would grow more at a smaller company, at a company that you can have more of an impact in. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's meant, like, I don't think it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I feel like some people, you have to understand there's a difference between chasing a title versus chasing something that's gonna fit into your lifestyle.
Exactly. And fulfilling.
And fulfilling, yeah.
Because it's very personal. Like,
no.
I really enjoyed my time at Google, but for mechanical engineering specific, I feel like I can do more at another company.
Yeah.
Because, like, they are a software company, not a mechanical engineering company.
Yeah.
So I kind of realized that, like, okay, like, maybe this isn't the company for me. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like now it's a bit hard because, like, people don't understand that. They're like, but why are you, like, returning to Google? Like, it's Google. They always say, it's Google. I'm like,
that's like saying, I mean, like, not everybody likes Drake, but Drake is Drake.
But it's just not for me. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, it's just being open to new opportunities and understanding that what may be ideal in, like,
what you think is
ideal. What you think is ideal may not be the best thing for you. Okay. It just trickles down to maybe it's not for you.
Okay, so we're in a phone call. You're on a phone call with little Isabella. She just graduated high school. What are you telling her? Hey, Isabella, just write out, ring, ring.
I feel like focus on the learning.
Actually say it. Like, talk to her right now.
Hi, Isabella. How are you doing? I mean, in high school, I was, like, graduating class of 2020. Mm. So I would just say, like, be patient. Like, the pandemic will end. But I feel like also focus on the learning rather than chasing the grades. I am a grade chaser, and I think that's like a flaw that I have. Like,
I think that the Cambridge program messed you up with that, because they kind of they teach you like
you gotta be good. Like, go for the straight A's. Yeah. And, like, it's fulfilling because, like, I can't lie to you. Like, it's fulfilling to see, like, straight A's in your transcript. But there was a point where I realized that I was book smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this, like, during my internships because mm-hmm. they were like, oh, like, please solve this. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. Can you give me, like, the step-by-step instructions and then, like, what's the angle, right? Because, like, even in math, like,
mm-hmm.
you are taught to break down a problem mm-hmm. and there will always be a right answer. And, like, yeah. the answer that's, like, in the answer sheet that the professor has. But I feel like in the real world, that doesn't even exist.
It's very ambiguous.
It's ambiguous. Like, yeah. there's no, like, specific approach to it. I think that was such a hard transition for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been an easier transition if I would have focused more on learning
mm-hmm.
and kind of like understanding the applications of what I was learning in the classroom mm-hmm. and how it was actually applied in the real world environment.
Mm.
It was hard, but
yeah.
I got through it.
Goodbye, Isabella. You're going to do great. You're like, you're going to do good.
Keep up the good work.
Sure. What about a future for, a message for future Isabella? What do you want to tell her?
Wow.
What do you want to ask her? She's 30 years old. What does she look like? I mean, you don't have to think about it, but like, maybe you could like tell her something.
Honestly, I think I would just try to, because I feel like mm-hmm. with each stage in your life, you're kind of like trying to meet mm-hmm. like what's expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like at 30, there's like certain expectations that I would have for myself. But again, just like being open and like just mm-hmm. because you think that you're going to be married with kids by 30 doesn't mean that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So just like remember that life is, you know, not a linear mm-hmm. like graph.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit more like a stress strain curve of steel.
A what?
Stress strain curve. Never mind.
It's like a mechanical engineering
it's
joke.
It's a joke, yeah.
Okay, okay. I'm laughing still. It's okay.
Yeah, just like being open to new opportunities as mm-hmm. always. And again, just because you're not at where you thought you would be doesn't mean that you're a mm-hmm. failure. Because like, I don't know if where I'm going to be in mm-hmm. 8 years. I really don't.
Wow. So. That's so good. Like, you have compassion for not only your future self, but also your past self, mm-hmm. like compassion and empathy. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans.
Yeah.
You think that your future self is this perfect person. What if they're not?
Yeah.
What are you going to think about that? You know, it's just, it's not about like the success that you have in a certain time. It's more of like your mindset throughout yeah. the whole way.
And it's like also mm-hmm. your approach to it, right? I don't yeah. believe in perfection. Like there's always going to be flaws like
mm-hmm.
everywhere.
Yeah.
But just understanding that that is as good as you have been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's like the perfection that mm-hmm. you were able to like do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like also being understanding that like you can't always compare yourself to others. And like
mm-hmm.
other people's trajectory is going to look very different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
So just like just because you didn't make it to like Forbes 30 under 30 doesn't mean that you're not.
You're
like,
good. You're you know? Good, girl. Well, that's awesome. Bueno, Isabella, this was a really great conversation. I think we touched on a lot of the things I wanted to talk about. You know, we talked about your entrepreneurial ventures and your mentorship program. You talked about, you know, like the do's and don'ts in a mentorship session and also some really good general life advice for everybody who's listening. So now, Isabella, before you leave, I want people to get to know you a bit more. I want you to share, I'm going to give you a chance for you to share how can people reach you and anything that you'd like to promote.
So I'm big on LinkedIn. So if you guys
okay,
want.
Okay, I saw she got 2K followers.
You're like close to it, though.
You passed me, though. You're 2.250 or something.
Girl.
Yeah.
You I'm
yes, I did stalk you. I stalk you
like,
all
wait,
the time.
Let me see like what she's doing right now. So if you want to reach me, I'm very mm-hmm. active on LinkedIn. Like mm-hmm. LinkedIn messaging for me is like top notch.
Yeah.
So in my LinkedIn, in my bio, you can see mm-hmm. schedule a free coffee chat, and then that'll redirect you to my Calendly, and then you can have a chat with me. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to message me, you can always just DM me on LinkedIn, and I'm very responsive through there too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Issa.
Thank you, Coral.
And have a great time in Boston. You're going to have a great time.
Thank you. I'm excited, but it's going to snow next week, so I'm not excited about that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to the Forward Thinker Show podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.